Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and this week I have a quick and dirty tip about whether you should use the word alumni or the word alums, a meaty middle about words from bookmaking, and a tidbit about the phrase beyond the pale. And now on to our quick and dirty tip. You'll remember that a couple of weeks ago I had a piece from Neil Whitman about homecoming being called HOCO. And Neil was also kind enough to point out that although I wrote about the words alum and alumni in some of my Grammar Girl books, I've never covered them on the podcast or on the website, and this would be a good time of year to do so, because alumni go to homecoming. Or should that be alums go to homecoming? Well, first let's deal with the singular forms. As you may have guessed, these words to describe graduates come straight from Latin. A lone female graduate is called an alumna. So I'm an alumna of the University of Washington in Seattle and an alumna of Stanford University. A lone male graduate is called an alumnus. Alumnus means foster son, pupil, or to nourish in Latin. And the Latin term for a former school is alma mater, meaning nourishing mother. So an alumnus can be seen as the foster son or pupil of the nourishing mother, the school. Nice, huh? Now, let's get to the plurals. A group of male graduates are alumni, and a group of female graduates are formally called alumni. If, and this is where some people have a problem, the returning graduates in the homecoming stands are a mix of male and female graduates, it's generally agreed that the right thing is to call them alumni, even though that's also the word for a group of just male graduates. The Associated Press, for example, recommends using the word alumni for mixed groups. For example, you could write, "More alumni than ever return to campus this year for homecoming." Some people don't like that, though, or they just get confused about which word to use, so they use the clipped form instead and refer to mixed groups as alums, writing something like this. More alums than ever return to campus this year for homecoming. Alums is so popular that Garner's Modern English Usage calls it a fully accepted, slangy casualism. In other words, you may not like it, but it's here to stay. And you're more likely to see it in a Facebook post from your sorority than in the New York Times. And that's your quick and dirty tip. You call a group of male graduates alumni, but you also call a group of male and female graduates alumni. If you can't remember that or you have a problem with it, you can use the word alums for mixed groups. But some people will think it's an error or think that it's too casual. And now, words we get from bookmaking. October is an important month for book festivals in Boston, Austin, Madison, Baton Rouge, and of course, Frankfurt, Germany, which hosts the world's oldest book festival. In honor of these book festivals, I want to delve a bit into the way that the language of books expanded the English vocabulary. The earliest books were not books per se, but inscriptions on stone or wood. The term stele, for an upright stone, wooden slab, or clay, is still a very specialized term. Soon, however, clay, wooden tablets, and papyrus scrolls made writing more portable. Fast forward today when tablets now refer to computers and we scroll on our computer screens, tablets, and phones. The meaning of both words has been extended to follow changes in reading today, scrolls and tablet. Clay tablets didn't need tables of contents, but papyrus scrolls left us the term syllabus, which comes to us from the Greek word syllabos, a label affixed to a scroll giving its contents. The Romans used the term titulus instead, from which we get title. The scrolls themselves were kept in a wooden jar. Stacking wasn't an option, and this jar was known in Greek as a bibliotheque, from biblion for book, and tech meaning case, which has become the word for library in various languages, bibliotheque. The prefix biblio, of course, also shows up in a variety of book-related terms, like bibliophile and bibliography. Bible is a biblio variant that took on a specialized religious association, but has been used figuratively to mean any authoritative book since the early 1800s. Less durable has been the word tome, referring originally to the cut scrolls of papyrus. Tome has the same root as atom, or appendectomy, and is used today to mean a physically or intellectually weighty book. Papyrus gave way to parchment and eventually to paper, which made its way from China to the Middle East to Europe. Early books were handwritten and hand-copied, giving us the term manuscript, which now simply refers to the original text of a work. In early manuscripts, uniform handwriting was at a premium since a book might be produced by many scribes, and there was no modern punctuation. Instead, sentences were separated by making the first letter larger and sometimes coloring it red, a process known as rubrication. Later, religious works included directions in red, and rubric came to mean an established custom. In present-day universities, the word has evolved to indicate a scoring guide that lays out grading expectations. I made a rubric today. The Old English word bok, for book, has a Germanic origin, most likely from the word for the beech tree, the material of early wooden writing tablets. The word text, indicating the wording of something, makes an appearance in English in the late 14th century, from the French word text, and related to the Latin word for something woven. Text was extended to encompass original or authoritative works, then to the idea of anything that can be read as a text, and in more recent times has been converted to a verb as a shortening of to send a text message. The insights of Johannes Gutenberg and 15 other artisans revolutionized book production with uniform, movable type, adapting the technologies of olive oil and winemaking, the press, as well as coin and jewelry making, the fabrication of letters. The letters or characters used in printing were soon referred to as type, from the Greek word for impression or mark. Like all novel technologies, printing with movable type was quickly and continuously refined through the Renaissance and into the Industrial Revolution. In the 18th and 19th centuries, further technological innovations improved the efficiency of printing, moving from wooden presses to iron ones, and from continually reset type to the process of stereotyping, where a mold was made of a page of set type. The mold could be stored and reused for future printings. A stereotype came to mean something repeated without change, and later, a preconceived oversimplification. By the mid-19th century, printmakers had developed a method of making uniform type automatically, a process known as typecasting, tripling the speed with which type could be made, and setting the stage for automatic typesetting. It wasn't long before the meaning of typecast was extended to refer to the casting of actors in certain roles. And by the late 1800s, we had the noun typewriter and the back-formed verb typewrite, later shortened to just type, bringing us full circle. So as you browse the publisher's offering at your local book fair, wherever that might be, take a moment to appreciate not just the words on the page, but the words that printing and publishing have contributed to the English language. That segment was written by Edwin L. Battistella, who teaches linguistics and writing at Southern Oregon University in Ashland, where he's served as a dean and as interim provost. He's the author of the book, Sorry About That, The Language of Public Apology. A version of this segment originally appeared on the Oxford University Press blog.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. I've been trying to figure out how to just find more time in my day. And you know what? Factor's ready-to-eat meals come to my door and are on the table in 2 minutes. No more grocery shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. Creamy Parmesan chicken, turkey chili and zucchini with ancho lime crema. These chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are delicious and take no time at all. Just heat them up and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grammar50 and use the code grammar50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's the code grammar50 at factormeals.com/grammar50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box where your subscription is active.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable, but the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Next, if you've been following the American election, you know that we have many reasons lately to use the phrase beyond the pale. So today on Grammar Girl, we're doing something new. We're giving you a quiz, and it's about the phrase beyond the pale. And that's pale, P-A-L-E. You may know that beyond the pale describes something outside the limits of acceptable behavior. For example, wearing a see-through dress to a wedding might be beyond the pale, or tossing your used coffee cup on the sidewalk. Both behaviors are outside the bounds of morality and plain old good judgment. So here's the quiz. Do you think beyond the pale has to do with color? Perhaps it alludes to increasingly pale shades of morality, or mysterious activities that occur after the setting of a pale moon. Or do you think it has to do with sticks? Believe it or not, the second option is correct. Beyond the pale has to do with sticks. You see, the word pale is derived from the Middle French word pâle and the Latin word pallus, and both refer to a wooden stake. It's where the pale part of impale comes from. When you impale that vampire, you're doing it with a wooden stake. And wooden stakes also give us the phrase beyond the pale, because in that case, a pale refers to a space enclosed by stakes. There was an English pale in Ireland, for example. When Henry II of England sailed into Ireland in 1171, his armies established a pale, a district ruled by English law and English barons. In the great districts beyond the pale, an Irish historian describes, the native Celtic languages of the county were continued to be spoken. The old customs or beehone laws were followed, while the chiefs or petty kings succeeded according to their ancient regulations of descent. From the British perspective, therefore, within the Pale lay civilization. Beyond lay savagery. Other historical pales include the Pale Settlement of Russia, set up by Catherine the Great, which required Jews in Russia and parts of Poland to live within certain boundaries, and the Pale of Calais, which is what the French region around the city of Calais was called when it was under English control. The Oxford English Dictionary actually says that evidence doesn't tie the phrase beyond the pale to any of these real-life pales, that attempts to do so are later rationalizations. But the phrase does get its meaning from the ideas related to the British Pale in Ireland. Inside the pale is safe. Beyond the pale is where you've passed the boundaries of civility. So that's your tidbit for today. Beyond the pale means improper or outside the bounds of acceptable behavior. That segment was written by Samantha Enslin, who runs Dragonfly Editorial. You can find her at dragonflyeditorial.com or on Twitter as DragonflyEdit. A lot of you seem to like the piece Samantha did last week about the phrase straight from the horse's mouth, and you were eager to share your own knowledge of horse-based idioms. Scott noted that long in the tooth also originates from horse teeth. It's the same idea. You can look at the teeth and see that a horse is old. And John shared that the same reasoning holds true for the phrase, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. When someone gives you a gift, a horse, in this case, it's impolite to look in the mouth to see how old it is before deciding if you really want it. Horses were a big part of life in years past, so it's not surprising we'd have a lot of idioms related to horses. And I bet you can think of a bunch of newer car-related idioms, too. It's been a while since I thanked people who wrote reviews at iTunes, and I really do appreciate them. So thank you to Leo from Argentina, TBNY, Spicy, who says, Grammar Girl is the reason I'm hooked on podcasts, Jim from Japan, who says he's been listening since 2010, and whose review I saw using my neat My Podcast Reviews tool that makes it a lot easier to see reviews from outside the U.S. iTunes store. So that one was from Japan. And finally, thank you to Elliot from the Entwined podcast, who made me laugh because he said he liked the show because he was able to prove he was right and his wife was wrong. So hey, Elliot, always glad to help. Thanks again for writing those reviews, and thank you also to the people who posted where you listen this week. I've enjoyed all the beautiful pictures and stories. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook as Grammar Girl, and on Instagram as The Grammar Girl. And one last quick note, are you signed up for my email newsletter? We send it out every week with links to the new articles and important announcements. And we're going to have an announcement soon about my updated AP Style webinar. So sign up for the newsletter at quickanddirtytips.com. Click on the newsletter button at the very bottom of the homepage. Sign up, and then you'll get all the new links every week and new announcements. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.